Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Our passage of scripture that we will read is Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. This passage of scripture is found in one of the truly great sermons of all time. We refer to this sermon sometimes as the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus, when he had gone up into the mount, set himself and preached unto the multitude that had come to hear him. This sermon comprises three chapters of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Within this great sermon, Jesus teaches us about kingdom living. He speaks to those great principles and precepts which are essential for one as he enters into the kingdom of God and becomes a citizen of that kingdom. Please read this sermon that Jesus preached and see the uniqueness of the sermon, the comprehension of the sermon, the impact of the sermon, and the lasting effect that this sermon is to have upon the life of one who seeks to be a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking to a multitude about principles of life that one must possess, and a life that one must live if he or she is to be a part of the kingdom of heaven and live eternally with Almighty God. In the passage of scripture before us, Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There is a wide gate and a broad way. And Jesus said the travelers upon this road will be many. But this road leads to destruction. This road leads away from God. This road does not know God. This road does not find God. This road will not lead you to heaven, but rather this road will lead you to hell, to destruction. And that destruction is eternal. As we consider this particular passage of Scripture, I wish for us first to look at the choice. Each individual has a choice. There is a narrow gate, and there is a straight way that Jesus explains. But few will seek to follow this way. Few will seek to walk in this manner. But this road leads to life and blessing and eternity with God. There is a choice that you and I make in life that determines how we will live, who we will serve, and what end will come to us. We can either choose to serve God or denounce God. But in choosing to denounce God, we choose the devil. But the way of wickedness appeals to so many, many people. Many seek to live a life of pleasure, and as a result, they are alienated from God. But each individual chooses how he or she will live their life, and they choose ultimately where they will spend eternity. We need to be wise in our choice. We need to be careful in our deliberation. We need to consider the road that we walk, and the destination of that road. There is a choice. Enter ye in. The choice whether or not we enter is our own. At Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus is speaking to one of his churches. In the book of Revelation, there are seven letters written to seven different churches. The Bible, you are aware, is written to Christians and to churches. The Bible is a book that explains how one is to live and how one is to please God. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus is examining his churches. These churches are found in seven different cities, and Jesus examines them. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, he's writing to the church at Laodicea. Laodicea is an imperfect church. Laodicea is described by the Lord God as being lukewarm. They're really neither for any great principles, but neither are they against any evils. They have chosen to just take a road of indifference, and as a result, they are lukewarm. Jesus said that as a result of that choice, he's going to spew them out of his mouth. Now, Jesus is writing to his church. He's writing to his people. He's writing to individuals who have obeyed the gospel of Christ and have been added to the Lord's church. But their choice has not changed their life. When we choose to follow God, we must choose to change our lifestyle. We have to choose the manner, or we have to change the manner of life that we live. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. This is what this statement that Jesus makes in Matthew 7 and verse 13 is all about. It's about change and service and commitment and obedience. But Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus continues to speak to this church. He hasn't yet thrown them off. He has not yet forgotten them. He urges them to come to their senses, to come to themselves. You remember the prodigal in Luke 15 who left his home, took his part of the inheritance, went into a far country, wasted his substance in riotous living, found himself in desperation and want, and the Bible says he came to himself. This is God's urging in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He wants the church at Laodicea to come to themselves. He wants them to wake up to the reality of where they are and what they're doing and the attitude that they have taken and the commitment that they have made. He wants them to remember their former days when they obeyed the gospel, when they heard that precious message, and they gave obedience to the gospel of Christ and yielded themselves unto that message. And God is urging them to return to that. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." Jesus says, "If any man will hear." There is a choice. When we hear the gospel of Christ, we make a choice. We either respond to the message that we hear, or we reject the message that we hear. We may offer many excuses, which we believe sometimes to be valid reasons, as to why we're not going to obey what the Lord says. But nonetheless, if any man will hear my voice and open the door must be opened by the individual. The individual must make the choice as to what response he or she will give to the gospel of Christ. There are multitudes of individuals today who hear the proclamation of the gospel, and yet the gospel has no effect on their life. The gospel does not change their heart. The gospel does not change their life. The gospel brings them no closer to God. It is sheer folly to hear the gospel of Christ and not obey the gospel of Christ. I stand at the door and knock. There is an urging on the part of Christ. There is a pleading on the part of Christ. Christ desires the salvation of every human soul this day. Christ wants you to be saved, and He wants me to be saved, and He wants the world to be saved. And so through the proclamation of the gospel, He urges people to respond to Him. I stand at the door and knock. Jesus stands at the door of every human heart and knocks upon that heart, urging them to allow Him to come into their life and change their life according to the life that He desires we live. And what a grand life it is. It is a higher life. It is a life of contentment and peace and happiness and joy. And surely it is worthy of our examination and of our following. I will come into Him. If one will open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me. But there is the choice. What choice have you made? What choice will you make? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. This great leader of God has led the nation of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land of Canaan. They've conquered the enemies that are there. Joshua, as the leader, has supervised the division of the land among the various tribes of the nation. And now Joshua comes to the end of his life. All of us come to the end of life. This life is a journey, and it is a journey toward an eternal destination. What I must impress upon your heart today is that you are traveling to an eternal destination. Your life will not end at death, as will mine neither. We will continue to live because we are a soul that God has created in His own likeness. We have immortality. We are going to continue to be in existence, either in heaven or in hell. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the wise choice. Joshua speaks to the nation and says in chapter 24, verse 15 of this Old Testament book, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose whom you will serve, and you will serve one of the other." If we do not choose God, then Satan chooses us. We will either follow the Lord or we will follow the devil in this life. We will either live in obedience to God or we will live in servitude to sin. But Joshua presents the nation of Israel with a choice. Choose. Matthew 23:37, Jesus is speaking to the beloved city of Jerusalem, the city that signified God's presence in the Old Testament. And now He has pronounced woes upon them because of their hypocrisy and their refusal to accept the Christ. And He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I offered, and ye refused. I called, and you did not hear. I invited, and you did not respond." John 5:40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. In Jesus Christ there is life. And only in Jesus Christ is their life." There are many great religious leaders who claim to be the givers of life, and they offer immortality, and they make grand promises. And many people embrace their religion and their idealism and their opinionism and their judgment. But only in Christ is there life. And Jesus tells these people, "You will not come to me." They had made a bad choice. They refused to come to the Christ. Romans 10:16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Not everyone has obeyed the gospel in days gone by. The gospel has been preached for thousands of years. Since that day in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, the gospel has been preached in purity, in simplicity, in clarity, according to the plan of God, the counsel of God, the will of God. And there are many, many that have not obeyed. There are many today that will not obey. Acts 28:24, "Some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not." And so as we look at this passage in Matthew 7:13, we see there is a choice. But I also want to consider the gate. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." There is a straight gate, and there is a gate that is not straight. There is a gate that is wide. The straight gate has restrictions, boundaries. In the Sermon on the Mount, God set boundaries as to how people could live. God has dictated in the Bible how we are to live. He told His ancient people in the Old Testament how they were to live, what He required of them, what they could do and what they could not do. People today have the idea that God is a very tolerant God, and He just allows people to do what they want to do and live how they want to live and go anywhere they want to go and say anything they want to say and think anything they want to think and dress any way they want to dress. And that's sheer foolishness. That's utter contempt for the law of God. You can read the Old Testament and see that God is not a tolerant God. He has made law. He has given commandments. There are ordinances that have been established. There are boundaries. And man cannot cross them except by his own peril. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." You need to consider the gate, the way that you live, that you choose to live, the deeds that you do, the thoughts that you have, and the words that you speak. Matthew 7:14, "Straight is the gate." That word "straight" means that this gate is restricted. There is a way into the gate, and there is a manner of life that must be lived after one enters the gate. There are people today who believe, and these are religious people. These people claim to love God and serve God and believe that you can get in through the gate any way you desire. And that's a devil's lie. The Bible tells us how we enter through the gate. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Because people want to do things the way they want to do them. You can't serve self and be a follower of God. The first requirement of Jesus in discipleship was deny thyself. We have to leave self behind. You remember Jesus' word in the garden? "Not my will, but thine be done." We have to give ourselves to the will of God. We have to surrender our heart to the will of God and the service of God. And His way is found in His book that He has written and preserved for humanity. We call it the Bible. And the Bible needs to be read. The Bible needs to be studied. The Bible needs to be obeyed. Not some church ordinance. Not some decree of man. Not some manual or discipline or catechism. But rather the Bible. Only the Bible will save your soul. It's the only book that God has written. And we must understand the Bible and follow the Bible, because the gate is straight and the way is narrow. In Luke 13 and verse 24, Jesus was speaking to His disciples. And there were other individuals there to whom He was speaking. They had asked a question: are there few that be saved? The Bible says there are. I don't know what few means in the mind of God. I know what it meant in the days of Noah. 8 souls were saved by water. I know what it meant at Sodom and Gomorrah, because only 3 souls walked out of Sodom to safety and to salvation. I know what it meant when they entered in the land, because more than 600,000 Israelites died in the wilderness because they refused to obey God. So there are few that are going to enter through this narrow gate and this straight gate and this narrow way. Are there few that be saved? And this was Jesus' answer in verse 24 of Luke 13. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. People may want to go to heaven, but do they desire to go to heaven? Do they live their life in pursuit of heaven? Are they striving to go to heaven? This word strive means the surrender of self to the will of God. And I need to know what His will is, so I read His book. And I strive to preach His will, because I will be held accountable for what I have preached. And I must not preach error. I must not preach deceit. Some people do not want to hear the truth. You can look at the religious world today and see that more people are following the errors of men than they are the truth of God. Many will seek to enter, but they will not be able, because they're trying a different gate and a different way other than the one that God has delivered. In Matthew 16, 24, 25, Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. You see the conditions for coming after Christ? You can't come on your own terms. I can't dictate to God how I want to live. He's not listening. He doesn't care about my opinion. He hasn't asked how I feel about anything. He has told me, instructed me, and in a loving, graceful way, has embraced me. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life shall find it. And then finally, as we consider this passage of Scripture, I want to consider the reward. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Narrow is the way, leads to life. The straight gate leads to life. The wide gate leads to destruction. Which do you desire to possess? the way you walk in this life, the road that you travel will determine your eternity. You can't live in sin. You can't give yourselves to evil and to the devil and hope to go to heaven. There is a way that leads to heaven. It is narrow, and the gate is straight. Matthew 7:14. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life. That's the destination of the road. You and I are traveling the road. We're living our life. Our years will be few upon the earth. They will pass swiftly. We will be young, and before we realize it, we will be old. Our years will be gone. Our life will end. And we're going to eternity. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's your choice. Which do you choose? Which way is your soul going? Through Jesus Christ and His immense love for humanity, God has offered everlasting life. But everlasting life must be accepted. Everlasting life must be embraced. Everlasting life must be lived by entering the straight gate and walking the narrow way. God has loved humanity to the extent, to the depth, to the immensity. Your mind can't comprehend it. It cannot be explained in human words. No language can describe it. God has loved the world to an immensity that He has offered everlasting life. The straight gate and the narrow road leads to life everlasting, life that will not end, that will not even be interrupted by death. I don't know about life after death. I don't know what immediately happens to the human soul. But I know that everlasting life is a gift from God. And death cannot destroy it. The grave cannot conquer it. And this wonderful gift that God offers to humanity is accepted by entering the straight gate and walking the narrow way. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, God has promised eternal life. And God makes good on His promise. He's never failed to grant a promise that He has made. His word is the word of truth. God only speaks truth, never a lie, never a word of deceit. And the hope of humanity should be, must be, can be eternal life, because God has created that life and He has provided the opportunity for that life through Jesus Christ, and He promises that life by the straight gate and the narrow way. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. That's your choice. Lay hold on it. It's available. All you have to do is take hold of it and live in pursuit of it. John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, many there be which go in thereat. The choice, the gate, the reward. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.